will pull that and the STD treatment.
STD, WI, and look, at the end of Trails End, that well is actually getting sampled tomorrow, and we'll have some results probably in 2 to 3 weeks, and we can actually put that one back online. K2 is, if they didn't lift it yesterday, that they anticipated lifting it today so they can get it wired up so we can do some test pumping on that one.
For your information, we have two wells that were tapped at some time in the past, and they were fairly major producing wells. Don't know why they were tapped or who did it, but we're trying to rehabilitate those and get them back online.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. The well that was mentioned on Pine Creek Canyon, are we talking about the well in Portal 3, the small well in Portal 3 that's...
Yes.
The one on the Trails End, yeah.
In the cul-de-sac?
That one's just at the dead end road.
Yeah, the cul-de-sac dead end, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Now, my understanding is that that's Solitude Trails well, or is that our well?
That is a well share agreement, correct?
Yes.
I believe it was
Solitude Trails.
Part of a wheeling agreement at one time.
It was at one time, but that's all gone.
Yeah.
The other well that I forgot to ask about earlier today was Strawberry Ranch 5. We did the video camera on. Is there any other testing that anybody had in mind that we want to do before we put the pump back in the ground?
Other than possibly running the gamma.
That's right.
Yeah. Logged on it. I don't see that. And that's not a critical thing. I think it would just be a good thing for us to do. But have they managed to fish stuff out of the bottom of the hole?
He was going to work on it. I don't know if he got to it yet or not, but they were definitely going to work on getting that wire out of there.
That was wire?
Yeah, the sounder wire.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, the wells around here like to eat them, so they take them and they don't give them back, and they go right to the bottom.
Yeah. Any idea about the lower casing?
We'd have to get sounder wire out, and we have to run the camera again. I don't know if it'd be worth the cost to
do that.
Yeah. And it's probably submerged in the fluff that comes off anyway. So. Maybe perhaps the guy can drop a magnet down there.
I don't know.
See if it grabs hold of it. But.
Okay, now, do we want to have a policy? Well, two policies. Do we want to try and purchase any water sharing agreement people that would be willing to sell their wells?
I think Paul had a suggestion today. He was talking to David and I about it, about setting up a standard.
Like a template of, you know, the process of going through a well purchase, mm-hmm. and leave certain parts in it blank, and then you can just lay that template over that particular well and look at the history of the well, the depth and casing and all that, and then maybe come up with a reasonable cost for it.
Another policy that I wanted us to consider, should we openly solicit the public to supply wells to us if they're willing?
I don't see an issue with that. Is anybody else? That seems like a reasonable.
I have contacted 4 people with wells, and they are not interested in well sharing agreements, not interested in selling to us. But I don't know how many people have wells in the community. I don't know how good the wells are.
Right.
But should we publicly solicit for?
I think that'd be a good idea. I'm talking with a customer.
It doesn't hurt anything.
Doesn't hurt to us.
Just
doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah.
No. Should we post that and then post it in our usual posting areas, or should we actually advertise that in the paper, or what do you, Paul?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's appropriate for the district to put together a template of what you would, the process you'd go through to decide to buy a well, and some way that you would set up valuation.
Right.
My experience is, the first question is, how much?
That's always the first question.
And so somebody could say, well, I might be interested if I knew. Well, if you, a public process for soliciting people who want to sell wells, if you're not ready then to move forward with it, then we might get in a situation where a private entity would come and compete with us, saying, hey, you know, there's a deal here. And so if we get direction from the committee and the board that you want to purchase wells, then I think we put together a template, run it through this committee, maybe work with the attorney, maybe work with someone who helps us put together a valuation a little bit. It could be basically just the present worth value of a 10-year water share. Could be a formula like that we could use, because you're going to be using public money,
right?
And you have to have a basis under which you would approach people to acquire private property. So that'd be my suggestion as first step.
Okay. For those who are not aware of it, we had an offer to purchase a well. When I called the guy about his well, the first thing he said was, I've got to revalue the well. How much are you going to pay me? I told him, well, we don't know how valuable your well is until we get some historical information on it. We were never able to get the proper historical information to do that. But that's a good suggestion, Paul. I think we do need that policy, and I think we do need a policy to just say, this is what a water sharing agreement constitutes. Namely, we pay for the electricity, we pay for the pump, we pay you X amount of dollars per 1,000 gallons. Most of the people that I have talked to about water sharing agreements are not really clear that the district pays for the electricity and the pump. So it's a really good deal, for as far as I'm concerned, for the well owner. But it's historically, we have had a very good history of dealing with our water sharing people. And that's one of the reasons why I think we ought to buy some water from them at all times, so that they know that we're interested in keeping them on board and keeping them happy as much as we can.
Mr. Chairman, we actually have a water acquisition policy in our rules and regulations. It's section 7. And it talks about, will we buy water from partnerships, individuals, and it explains all about the water sharing agreement in our rules and regulations already. So we can just cite that.
That would be much appreciated, yeah.
Chair, would you send that to me?
Sure.
Now, does this conflict with any of the things we're doing with USDA and some of the grants and so forth? Is there any conflict in any way?
Not to my knowledge. They're aware we have water share agreements. I've had to supply them.
What happens is, we're responsible for the water once we buy it. But before that, there are private wells and they're their own thing, so they're not responsible actually for anything. So
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Sometime back, prior board turned over back to owners some lower producing wells. Was that ever approached at one time as to investigate if those wells could in fact have been viable?
That's a good question. We've been trying to determine historically what's happened with them. And unfortunately, our historical data is
it's not there.
Non-existent.
Yeah.
So we're still trying to determine how many of those are viable or whatever. At this point in time, last written thing that I am aware of, we had 19 wells that were questionable as to ownership, as to production, whatever. I've been trying to get information on those for over a year. We're going to build up the database so that we can have that information available.
Yeah,
we don't right now.
Some of the wells were actually put in by Hardcastle, you know, with agreements with property owners at the
right.
time, and then they were like, okay.
Well,
and that wasn't Brooke that did it, but it was a...
That's...
Yeah. Okay.
Again, what I know about is just by the grapevine.
Okay.
But we're going to try and trace those down as best we can.
Okay. Thank you.
We do have a record of 19 wells that we supposedly owned, and we don't know at this point whether we own them or not. We certainly don't know whether they're viable wells
right.
or not.
Right.
So. Now, once several meetings ago, we had a public member suggest that we need to do something about water conservation letters. And we agreed with that. Have not been in touch with her. I don't know whether she would like to join the committee or not, but any comments from anyone? Do we need to have a water conservation letter available, and should we send it out with our bills, or what should we do?
Mr. Chairman, I'm in agreement with that. Matter of fact, I'm in the process of working on an ADWR report, and they're going to require that we do that. So
uh-huh.
that's coming down the pipes, and we have some older.
On the website, we have a link. We have a link to the drought monitor for the U.S. We have a link to Water Use It Wisely, and in the Water Use It Wisely link, you can find all information on the importance of conserving water, 100 plus water saving tips, saving water indoors, saving water outdoors. This link is right on the district's website, and all of these things are updated constantly. I was looking at some of them there as of July 2021.
What I'm worried about is that I've talked to a number of people that don't watch the website or are having trouble accessing it or whatever. Do we need something in addition to the website too?
Well, we could take some of these bulletins, these special
yeah.
things that they have, they don't care if you reproduce them.
No,
the more noticeable, the more notoriety they get, the more this water's like. And they actually, you can sign up for their newsletter.
Right.
We could possibly encourage people to sign up for their newsletter if they have internet and email. They could sign up for the newsletter. So we could put out a publication through our one call system, where we email all of the customers and tell them about what's on the website and Water Use It Wisely, and to sign up for their newsletter to get up-to-date information on water conservation.
I think if we, you know, like you say, if we could include some stats coming out from the state of Arizona, so that it's not such an impact and people go, oh, we've got to conserve water, what are they doing? They've got to realize that this is not just us, that they're statewide, there's a problem.
It's the whole Southwest.
So it would kind of soften the blow a little bit if we included that. Maybe in the letter that however you're going to announce it to the public, that should be part and parcel of the request to curtail, you know, some of that, to watch conserve water.
Paul?
Mr. Chairman, would you like to look at a couple of things at your next meeting that you can think about? Because if we do anything other than the website, there's a cost associated with the printing and mailing. Or door knockers or things like that. So would that be something that you'd like?
We will put that on the agenda. Would you like to do that as part of your report, or would you want a separate agenda item for?
Well, I would recommend that you just have it an agenda item as your next water enhancement committee, and then if it's going to require a bunch of money to produce it, deliver it, and all that, you could have an agenda item on your next full board.
Well, you know, if you want people to conserve water, you raise the price if you go over a certain amount.
Well, that was as we can't do it this year, but I think next year we certainly ought to consider making our excessive water use people pay considerably more for the water than we've been doing. I don't think we've been doing poorly about it, but I do think that my personal opinion is historically Pine Strawberry has used less water than almost anywhere else. I don't think that is the case anymore since we've had so many Valleyites move up here. I'm sure that Airbnbs and Ben, whatever, I'm sure they are not conserving water like they should be. So I think that's a very valid, we do need to prompt them to conserve water somehow. Paul?
Mr. Chairman, also one thing that the committee may want to consider is reaching out to Payson or a couple of the others that have a full-time water conservation group or staff person. Ask them perhaps to come in, make a brief presentation to the committee about the things that they have found are successful. That might also be a good agenda item for you for the future. I know that you moved from just general information to requiring certain plumbing restrictions, things like that, additional tariffs. All those things are a full menu of things that are available under the same category.
Right.
And it might be informative to hear what some others are doing.
Any other comments?
I just wanted to tell you, I just looked up on our July billing, and our July billing is by the tiers as to how many people were in each area. And we had 3,260 bills. Almost 2,400 were just in the regular base rate, but we had 875 that were in the higher rates, where they paid the $7, the $9, and the $15 per 1,000 gallons. So that's actually probably pretty low for July.
That's probably because of all the rain.
There aren't that many commercial accounts either, where you would
expect.
We had
about 67 commercial accounts.
So that includes the 67?
Yeah, it includes all customers,
That's considerably more.
Yeah, we track it. We have it.
Higher usage than I thought.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. Mine's probably the highest.
Well, my family of six, they have four teenagers, so it's going to be a lot of laundry and showers and...
Well, I don't have any problem with that. I have friends that have 10 kids, and that's fine. There's a rule of thumb that each person in a residence should use X amount of water.
That would be good info, because I would have no idea.
That's good information.
Yeah.
Our original water master plan was based on that. It was based on the average water usage, was based on the fact that at that time, 75% of the residents were part-time residents, summer residents, basically. Since then, we've gone from 25% full-timers to 50% full-timers, or maybe 65. I don't know what at the present time, we don't really know. And that's part of the reason we have put the moratorium in place, is because we don't really have the data to tell us what is going on.
Mr. Chairman, I just recently this week sent, RCAC is doing a rate study for the district as part of our USDA funding. And this week I just sent them the water usage, commercial and residential, for all of this just past fiscal year, because I didn't want to use 2020 because it was a different year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just sent that. I will be talking with them tomorrow to find out when we're going to have some idea of when the rate study will be completed.
Right.
So that will tell us, it goes by the AWWA, how much that association says each meter, this size meter, you need to provide this much water, this size meter, you need to supply this much water for demand. That rate study will tell us what we need to provide and if we have enough to be able to provide. So it's all part of this moratorium, everything that's going on at the same time.
Yeah. I did get a phone call from you guys, though, when we first moved up here, concerned because my water bill had gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was, I thought, good. Just so you know, they do that.
Mm-hmm.
We went out and checked for leaks and had a plumber come over and make sure nothing was leaking. And then we realized it's just because now we're here full time. But it did make us go check for leaks and everything.
Which I think was the point, right, of notifying people, like, all of a sudden, do you have a problem?
Yes.
And that's a good
right.
point.
It was great.
Yeah. Well, they do it every month.
Well, I told my kids they like get two showers a week now, so they're stinking kids right around.
They stand out in the rain. Right?
Yeah. Not getting a phone call yet. No, I thought it was good.
Okay, so do any other comments on that? Our next order of business is the water moratorium. And we've had a lot of pressure to relieve the water moratorium. To go through just shortly to one of the reasons we put the water moratorium on was that the state requires us when we do a will serve letter to certify that we can provide the water for 100 years. At the present time, we can't guarantee that we can provide the water for 100 years to anybody under any circumstances whatsoever. So that's a major problem. We've had major water losses. We're still in the process of determining where those major water losses are and what's going on, and I don't know how long it's going to take to solve that problem. It's looking like we're closing in on the water loss problem. Those are the two major reasons we put the thing on. The other major reason is, as everybody knows, we major water shortage situation, statewide, nationwide, you name it. At the present time, just heard the other day that they have just notified the farmers that they're going to be cut back to half the water they've been using. That's statewide, not just locally. There are districts right and left that are putting on conservation stages and what have you to conserve water. Fortunately, we haven't had stages for, what, 5 years now?
At least.
At least 5 years, probably 7 years. Before that, we had water stage 1, 2, 3, and we were hauling water at some point, so. Fortunately, we've been able to provide water up to this point for our present customers. Whether we can promise our future customers that, I don't know.
I think we should keep some sort of moratorium in place all the time. Because, you know, this last drought, we were just barely able to support the customers we have.
Yeah.
So my suggestion is we look at that data, the percentage, how much the wells had dropped and what we were doing as far as supporting those customers. And as we bring on new wells, we use those new wells as a percentage of what it would be like if during a drought. And then we can allow that many buildings or new buildings to go up based on the new wells that we add in.
Historically, for those of you who don't know, our water master plan said in 2014 that we had plenty of water to supply the area till build out. But that was based on the 25% full-time residents and the water usage at that time. We hope to have in the near future better information on our present water usage, but when that's going to be available, I don't know. Just for your information, is everybody here familiar with P. Dale Shire's?
With what?
P. Dale Shire's articles on water in the Roundup. This is one dated May 18th. It's about a study. Climate experts say that computer models show that the heat-trapping pollutants in the atmosphere have worsened natural cycles of heat and drought. That's a given. And all climate experts agree on that at this point. The unfortunate thing is that this is pseudoscience. There have been droughts in the 500s, the mid-1100s, 1500s, and the one we're in right now, they're claiming is a 1,000-year drought. Still in. Obviously, 500s to 1500 had nothing to do with industrial revolution gases. So we can't at this point state that man could do anything about the natural climate change. I'm suggesting that the moratorium is going to have to stay on for a considerable period of time, just because at the present time we have no snowpack, which is what is recharging our groundwater, and all our reservoirs are going down to 50% or less, so I don't see a real possibility of relieving the moratorium anytime soon. What I think we should do is consider residential use if we determine we have enough water available to do that. But that will depend on our future water studies on the water usage and what have you, so.
I'll try and get a closer date as to when the right study might be completed.
And that, realize that all this data is based on 20-year cycles. If we're in a 1,000-year drought, all the 20-year cycles in 1,000 years aren't going to amount to a hill of beans.
Yeah.
For what right now, this month, we've had the biggest rains anybody can remember for since 2014 at least. Based on the 20-year average, we're still below 2 inches below, which is 10% below the 20-year average. Not to mention the 1,000-year drought we're in. So we're in a serious water shortage.
Mr. Chairman, one of the things that we've been talking about in our project meetings for USDA WIFA projects, which is bringing more water to the system, as well as looking at the leaks in a scientific way, is to see if we could work with the committee coming up with some policy statements which would quantify specific decision points for existing residents and for the development community to say, when we get to this point, we would reconsider. We get to this point, we can relieve this much, we get to this point. And then quantitatively, or something we can actually measure, when we get back to this point, we would need to reinstall it.
Right.
We talked among ourselves about scheduling a public meeting with the development community or property interest to say, look, this affects you as much as the district. And so we need to understand what your needs and expectations are because the development community is looking for certainty.
Right.
The certainty may be there's no new meters for 2 years. Well, they don't like that, but they can then plan around that. What they don't like is maybe it's this, maybe it's that. They like to have something they can look at. And I think so that we can avoid any potential hurt feelings or any actions against us that may be judged as a taking of their right, their property right, or something like that. I think if we came up with some policy, some standards, got it through the committee, then took it to the board, established that as a board policy, then everybody, when they come in and say, I'd like to have a meter, the staff can hand that person a document that's gone through a process and say, here's what we are. Right now, they just have to say, I'm sorry, we'll put you on the list. And that goes for a while, but I think, you know, when it rains, everybody thinks the drought is over. And when the tanks are full this month, they think, well, why can't we? It's only one. All those kinds of arguments. The staff needs some help.
That's what everybody's been telling me is it's so wet, why don't we have water?
Right.
Well, we're still 2 inches below the 20-year average, yet alone the 1,000-year average, so.
David, do we have any data of how much wells have gone up with all the rain?
I'm glad you brought that up. We are actively increasing our data collection. That's an ongoing process. Today, for example, I think the guys hit all the wells in Strawberry for the first time in a long time with a sounder to get statics. So, and we've been pulling historical data out on a spreadsheet, and I'm going to venture to say in the next month or two we'll have enough information to see where the trend's taken us as far as the aquifer up here.
And I wanted to speak on what you said, because I thought that was such a great point, because I come in here just to get information, because, well, I can tell you the word on the street, because I'm, you know, developing, I have 20 homes that are going up there, and just, this is just the word on the street, I'm not speaking of opinion by any means, but these little hotels are going up, which they rightly can, and the town is bitching left and right, and we had heard they'd all come in here storming into a meeting, there's all these emotions, everybody wants, there's not enough water,
right?
They're not even on your water,
right?
Which they didn't know that, but
well,
it's got to be overwhelming, because there are so many people pissed off about the buildings,
right,
going up here. And so those of us who, you know, I've been up here 3 years, and I do all the charity events, and I raise the money for all the waitresses and stuff during COVID.
Right.
I mean, we really do give. And so we get mad.
Uh-huh.
Like, these people are just sitting at home doing nothing, and they're bitching because
right,
we're coming up here, and they once came up here themselves.
Right.
So what he was saying, it'd be nice for us to, for everybody to be more, because I feel so informative when I come in here.
Uh-huh.
And I know you're new, and it's amazing when I listen to the stuff you're doing. I think this is a change that you didn't have before.
Right.
And I'm impressed with what I hear, and I don't know a damn thing about water, but I have to say that it's a nice change. In fact, I was told there's some young punk who came in and took over. Yeah, I mean, this is what people say.
Yeah.
You know, so I came in to see who the young punk was.
60-year-old man. Yeah.
But you've been punked.
Yeah.
We've probably been remiss to some extent, but we've been remiss because we were told that we have plenty of water to build out. That's historically water under
the
bridge.
And I know the growth has
we
changed because there's a lot of us moving
now
up here.
Oh,
in my age group, even with kids, we don't want to raise our kids down there anymore. We want to raise them up here, and so I think that's changed too, more than just a retirement community. Yeah.
And my personal opinion is I would like to encourage residents to move up here. I would like to discourage commercial and overuse of our water. I don't see any reason why we couldn't do that if we do it reasonably. Probably we should have been doing more toward developing and keeping our water in functionality, say. But we've just been kind of resting on our laurels and saying, well, we've got plenty of water, but obviously we don't have plenty of water, but we have wells going dry. And like I said, we had two major wells that were capped, and we didn't even know about it a year ago, so.
Right. Well, I think more info, but they don't come in, they just pitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I choose to come in and listen, and it makes sense when I come in here. I'm not angry by any means, you know.
I
didn't come in to ruin the community. But I do think the smaller places are that are building, again, they have every right. You know, one of the things I tell people is the only way to change that is to change the zoning. You know, if it's zoned that they can put in a hotel, then there's no reason they can't.
Right.
Well,
so,
I think they had to go to zoning and get zoning to put that in. That was the problem.
Oh, zoning switched it for them.
Yes.
Yeah. Ew, that I just see.
That was the issue, everybody
gripes, but they're not really informed.
No, exactly. So I thought it'd be funny, well, not funny, but informative to you hear what's on the street.
Sure.
And what you suggested was so perfect. If there was more of, if there was a meeting for buildings and those with lots, because, you know, for us personally, it was a dream. We kept 12 acres. I really with four kids, I need to be out in the wilderness because I think I piss off all my neighbors. And the way to do that for us, that community was originally going to be 150 homes, and we didn't want that.
No.
So we took 48 acres and made it 20 homes only. And we wanted it to be small and not overpopulated, and the neighborhood's very happy about it. And then we chose to sell our house and move our family up here, and boom, the moratorium comes on. So we can't build.
Yeah.
Luckily, we had a place to go, but it's hard on us, some of us, yeah. But we get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so maybe if there were more voices and people understood and what was going on, and maybe there's a way we can help.
Yeah.
Like, I'm listening to you guys talk about getting more shared wells. I would love to join the committee and go out and do that because I'm very social.
Yeah.
And I could get, you know, maybe more shared wells, or there's probably things we can all do to help.
I think the message that we need to get out is, you know, it's not a case of not in my backyard kind of thing. It's there's a reason why we have the moratorium, and we hear about what they're doing with the new electronic equipment, detecting the leaks and checking the wells, and we're looking at feasibilities for drilling wells. And I think that's what the people that don't know, aren't paying, you know, aren't coming to the meetings and so on, need to understand that this is not just, we just want to close shop. Is there's a reason why we have to be careful with the decisions that, you know, the board make as regards
the time frame too is scary, because I think the last moratorium lasted, what, 7 years?
That was when it was a public company.
Okay, and that has everybody scared.
Yeah.
Everybody is scared about that. The last one took 7 years, 7 years, 7 years. And I get a lot of phone calls about it myself, just because they know that I'm coming to meetings and stuff. And I've told them about you. And at last time I heard, we were at 40% leaks, and now we're down to 11%.
That was just June.
Yeah, and that's impressive.
We're back up to 25 the last month.
But you can see that there's been changes,
yeah.
And
wow.
So I try to keep them all informed myself, but
yeah,
that's a scary number, is
it.
Seven
yeah.
years.
You know, they're yeah. continually striving. They're assessing it. It's not like, you know, okay, we got this amount of leak, we're not... We can't do anything about it. They are, which is good, and the people need to know that.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking for a committee member, I would love to be a committee member if there's ever an opening, because I would love to be one who says,
always an
opening. What do we need to do to help that? And I would love to.
We would be glad to. I'll sit right here. We're glad to.
I would love to. And I know a lot of the developers and investors, and, you know, if this is what you want, this is what we need to do.
Well, that's one of our problems. Historically, the county says, boy, we love those taxes. We're just going to develop everything, and we're going to collect taxes like nobody's business. They don't tell us. Your subdivision is a case in point.
It's hidden. Nobody knows about it. That's why no one's bitching about me.
I heard about that from a friend who said he used to ride his horse across that property. It's been sold and it's going to be subdivided. I heard about that in April, I believe. That's the first thing I heard about it, until we were asked, I can't remember her name, but
Rebecca.
We were asked if we were responsible for incorporating that, and I told him at that time that yes, that is part of our water area agreement, that we are going to have to serve it somehow at some point in time. But we had not been submitted plans. We didn't have any idea what was going on,
because we were told we couldn't.
Well,
yeah,
and
which again is great. I'm so glad
that
I came in.
That should have happened. We should always be looking at whatever future vote
exactly.
we have, so we can be planning for it.
And I've been talking, we purchased that, it'll be a year this November.
Uh-huh.
It'll be 2 years this January since I started talking to you guys about it. And, you know, another question I have, just out of curiosity, so Solitude Trails has offered us their water. They have plenty.
They can.
Because they're on a different district.
Right.
So is there any way that we can change the district and be in theirs? I mean, does that help everybody? Does that make it worse? It was just a, you know, a thought, because, you know, I talked to the president over there.
The districts are assigned by the state.
Oh, okay.
The districts are set by the
Okay.
Corporation Commission. There are ways that they can be altered, but it's a real
headache.
It's a hideous process.
Well, and they're a domestic company, so they're not under the, they're under the ACC.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
We are not under the ACC. We're a public-owned company.
Okay, and we've, there's four wells drilled out there at 700 feet, no water. They hit, and I want, and I can talk to you about this when the meeting's over, so I'm not taking up everyone's time, but they hit a certain bedrock that they know if they hit it, there is no water. And I don't understand what that means, but they're telling me that on this side of the Lavender Farm, there are no, there's no water to be drilled, because we're willing to drill down 1,700 feet. We, you know, we're willing to go as far as we need to hit water, but we're told we can't, that there is no water.
I was going to suggest that, that we ought to be talking with you, and that's one of the reasons I was, we need to have a policy to purchase wells, or to intend to purchase wells, because you have, I don't know who told you that there's no water available.
Chris, he does a lot of...
Chris told you that?
He's the one who drilled those and said that he hit a certain rock, and when you hit that rock... And I said, if I had unlimited money, I brought you as many crews and a piece of machinery as you want, what would it take? He goes, you won't hit water. And so...
Well, I've been going to, but I haven't talked to Chris. I need to talk to him, because that's wrong.
Because we have four casings out there that are each 700 feet.
And there's no water?
Nothing. But we're willing to go deeper, and that's why I called Chris, was to take them deeper. Because I would have loved to have hit enough water to supply that whole, you know, all the 20 houses.
Well,
if he hit the Precambrian granite and stuff, then there's... Payson gets water from fractures in it, but not a reliable supply. That's why they went with the C.C. Cragen. But there's an area called the Pine High that is that Precambrian granite and metamorphics that has no porosity in it, basically. And if they hit it over there, then
they stop.
They would have to, they stop, and they will have to find an area where there's a fault zone that would allow some porosity.
Okay.
And there's no controls really, or not enough geological information to that traces the faults around here, and there's a lot of them.
So that makes sense to you, what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a no-go. It's not gonna. You can't get water over there
unless they can find a fault zone.
If that's right, the unfortunate thing is that well information in Arizona is totally inadequate.
So it was done in 99.
We don't know for sure if that's the Pine High and you can't get water there or not. For years we were told that there was no deep water available in this whole area.
And then you found it.
And then they drilled. Well, one our district
was
funded a study. We drilled a deep test. We found there's plenty of deep water available in certain spots.
Okay.
What we don't know is, at this point, we know on the north side of Strawberry we can hit water at 400 feet. In the middle of Strawberry, feet does not give us the same aquifer on the north side. So obviously there's a problem between the middle of Strawberry Valley and the edge of Strawberry Valley. That same thing may exist south of Pine High. Is as you cross, as you go south
the control
on the highway, you'll notice, you know where the control road comes in?
Yes.
Okay. If you look to the right there, you'll see the rocks that are they're like that. That's an indicator of the pyanide. Those are the non porous rocks. What my question is, and if you have four wells that he says penetrated, that you may be, that may be there, or it may not, because like I say, middle of Strawberry Valley and the edge of Strawberry Valley is two different things.
And you can't go through it and go below it?
No.
Well, it depends on what the rock is.
Okay.
And that's what we don't know at this point, because the drillers, when they hit this hard layer, they say, this is it. The unfortunate thing is that hard layer may be just hard layer.
Is this something I can talk with you guys more about to get more info?
Yeah, we're going to try and
determine
that.
Mr. Chairman, the district under the USDA project has gotten an agreement with the Salt River Project for some of their expert staff,
right,
without a charge to the district, to come alongside us as we're selecting a company that will help us,
right,
locate, drill, and develop the deep well under the USDA project. Perhaps during a couple of those discussions, we could have a specific question session with them about a particular part of our district, maybe that property, just to see if they have some other background. My experience with drillers are that they have site-specific opinions. And each one of those you take as
historically
as a piece of information. These gentlemen have been working in the region and are dealing with all of the Fossil Creek water, the Cragen water, the fractured rock wells, all those kinds of things. And so it could be, there would be enough time when we get them on board.
Yeah.
We expect to have them on board perhaps after the next board meeting, September 2nd. This may be on the agenda for us to authorize that work with that consultant.
To give you an idea, that information probably will be here by the end of the year. Now, what they can do about specific information in this area, I don't know. I do know that the information we have is not very good. For years, we were talking about deepening the K2 well. For years, we were told that there was no deep water in the valley, that we were in the same situation Payson is, that we were dealing with fractured granite. We are not dealing with that at all. There is a possibility that we're dealing with that on the south edge of Pine, but not necessarily, because Mill Branch had water flowing, and that certainly was not part of the Pine High, and that's right where the Pine High is supposed to be. That's why I'm questioning 700 feet should have gotten you into deep water. In what we call a red wall, which is the deep aquifer here. Our productive wells are at 700 feet in that.
Are there any wells on Whispering Pines?
I'm not aware of any.
Any?
Pardon me?
Any private wells on Whispering Pines?
I don't know.
Okay.
There's a website that shows where all the wells
are. Solitude Trails, there are Solitude Trails over there. They're their own system.
Yeah, Solitude Trails is over there.
They have something over there.
They're connected to a, not a well, but I think a...
They're connected to our lines.
We have all the lines over there.
But I want to say it's a, not a well, but...
There is a well.
Solitude Trails has a well?
Yeah.
Yes, I have connected to Solitude Trails.
They have several wells.
I have several.
But
I thought they were a, I can't think of the word. I thought they were coming from like Blue Ridge or something like that.
No.
So are you saying we could do a study with them on our property?
Well, they're in business to work for anybody. But what I suggested is that you have a specific interest, and when they're under contract, perhaps you can work with the district to get a little insight from them while they're already here.
Yes, how do I do that?
Paul. No, don't talk to me.
You're in our district, so we can help you if anyone can. Solitude Trails, for your information, came to us once to drill a deep well, and we didn't agree to do that. But I wasn't aware that there were deep wells in that area.
Okay.
And I'm certainly not aware of what the geology is underneath. That's why I've been suggesting that we log these wells, because right now we have driller's logs, and they go through and they say, this is soft, this is muddy, this is harder, this is...
Harder.
That doesn't tell you very much.
Right.
And it certainly does not tell you which aquifer formation you're in. That's why for years we didn't think we had water available.
Well, if we could hit water like Solitude Trails, then we could do the well sharing or sell the well over.
Well, what I'm suggesting is if, and I need to talk to Chris and find out what the deal is on those wells, because I would suggest we work together and drill a well down there if there's potential for deep well down there.
Definitely. And I have all four well numbers, so if I get your info, I can email it to you.
I would appreciate that info.
Okay.
Because we don't have that information available at all. And it's valuable information, because that is an area that's highly questionable, to say the least. Pine High, in my mind, and I'm a geologist, I was questioning whether it really existed. But you can see as you drive down the highway, just south of that, right there at the control road, you can see those nasty rocks.
Okay.
Just south of that, you can see nice level rocks. Just north of that, you can see nice level rock, which are porous aquifer rocks. Now, I'm talking, this is hundreds of yards, this is not miles. You could go through those level areas just immediately south of that nasty rock and control road, just immediately north. Our deep well, our Milk Ranch wells are at 700 feet, and they're in that red wall formation, which is a very good well. It has its problems, but it's very good aquifer. If you've got 700 foot wells and they hit something harder than that, then that Pine High may really be there. But the problem is, like I say, 100 yards north and south.
Right.
There's a little aquifer rocks. Yeah. So where that is up for grabs.
Are they all right together?
No. So it was three parcels, and there's one in the middle of each parcel, and then we kept the 20 back. The 20 parcel, and there's one on the north side and one on the south side, and we just sold the north side, so we kept the south side. So they're all four in different parcels. I think all four of the people who own the parcel where the well is would be willing to, you know, do something, but I know for sure we have a well in our 11 acres, and we have 11 acres. I wouldn't even mind drilling somewhere else if we needed to. But you know, I kind of just took Chris's word for it and said, no,
Well, I'm not saying anything against Chris. I'm just saying geologically, there's a problem with that area. Geologically, there's a problem with deepening the K2 well. So we need more information. Any information you have would be greatly appreciated.
Yes, I will send
and,
you.
And I am.
And I have your email address.
Send it to me.
Okay.
I'm going to suggest, I don't know whether we can afford it, it's not in our budget right now, but we may have to afford it. I'm going to suggest a geological study to see if we can determine more about this situation, because like I say, 400 foot wells hit it, 900 foot well barely hit it. 700 foot wells are in it and producing well in some situations. The big well that we were talking about, 44, is in that formation, and it's a tremendous well. We have a deep well a few hundred yards away from it that has been the poorest well on the face of the earth. Same act. So, obviously we don't know enough. And that's what I'm saying about those four wells down there. If that impermeable rock goes there, we need to know how far north we need to go. And it should be very far north. Matter of fact, I would be very surprised if it's actually a problem there. We'll have to see what the information says, but I would be very surprised if you couldn't get water on your property. If I had the money, I would drill a well there.
We're willing. We just were told it doesn't matter. But if there's something else I can do, I'll be in contact with you guys.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we would be glad to have you as a member of our committee.
I would love to.
And we would be glad to work with you and do what we can. I have been actually trying to get people to get on the committee for some time, but we haven't been very active because our committee chairman died, and like I said, we've been under the impression we had plenty of water. Obviously, we don't have plenty of water. We need to change that whole attitude. So. Any other things we need to talk about?
If I give you my information, you can't look up my account.
Inactive
we have a
front
star next to it.
Inactive wells, I don't think we have any more information than we did.
Mm-hmm.
No,
not since the last meeting.
That's,
I think that doesn't.
Like I'm saying, our historical data is extremely poor, so we're trying to retrieve it, but we're still working on inactive wells. Any potential agenda items for the next meeting? We need to set up that template.
I think we should just make sure that we include, you know, following up with the templates, reviewing those, following up with the information we were suggesting.
Yeah.
Make sure that we review that.
Okay.
And that water share agreement policy is section 7 of the rules and regulations, which is on our website. The rules and regulations are on the website. I sent them to you, and I sent them to you, Paul. The file was, I couldn't send it to you, the file was too big.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, do you have an opinion of when you'd like to have your next meeting? Because you have your committee, here, maybe people want to look at their calendar.
Do we need another one in a month, or do we need to meet sooner than that?
Well, you can always call a meeting if something big crops up and just kind of plan for a month or 6 weeks or whatever.
Because, like I say, at the present time, we're still gathering data, so I don't know how soon we need to have a meeting, other than we do need to kind of contemplate this 10-foot a year lot, what we need to do. So I will.
That could actually be done online too.
Pardon?
We could review those things online as well.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have to do these.
Yeah. I will be in touch and let you know. I think I have your information from your
blue card.
From your card when you were here before.
Okay.
So, yeah, I will be in communication.
Okay.
If there's no further discussion, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I second that.
I motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you.